On today's show, we talk our biggest Disney World mistakes. This is WWDW, the Disney World Planning Podcast. Hello, and welcome to episode 226. I'm your host, Julie Elster, creator of WRWDW.com, the Disney World planning website. Today, we're talking mistakes made at Disney World. Not only have I made them, but I talk to people weekly, and often I hear about mistakes. We discuss mistakes. So let's, you know, compile them into one episode so that you can learn from my stupidity. Speaking of stupidity, with me is my wonderful husband.
Tech Nasty.
I'm just kidding. He's way smarter than I am. So many degrees. In my office, his diplomas are hanging on the wall.
You know,
he has multiple.
It was a shared office. And then it was your office. Then during the pandemic,
then it was mine. Yeah.
It's no one's ownership.
Because no one was going to Disney World.
Yeah. Switched hands a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. So let's talk Disney World mistakes. So we're going to talk about all sorts of things, from what to pack, what not to pack, how to plan.
Why do I want to learn from your mistakes?
Do you remember our first family trip to Disney World? We did like 5 rides total, and we were there for a week.
I recall it differently, but subsequent trips were definitely much more successful.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's the importance. Also,
given how expensive it is, you don't want to mess it up.
Yes.
At all.
Right. Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. And, you know, I do a lot of stupid things. And as everyone knows, I sweat a lot. So learn from my disgusting, disgusting misfortune and have a great trip. I think that's the point.
Ew.
I'm sorry.
Well, let's get into it. What's mistake one?
Over planning and not being flexible. I think these two things go hand in hand. Initially, I had these as two separate things. And then I'm like, no, these go together. Planning too much and not being flexible with your plans.
So mistake one is you say, I don't want to screw this up because it's so expensive. I'm going to do everything. I watched all the YouTube videos, mm-hmm. listened to all the podcasts, read the books, and this is my perfect day. Because every website's like, here's an itinerary, here's an agenda. Those are the kiss of death for newbies.
Yes. Yeah. Even my, you know, if you go to my website, even my quote unquote itineraries are very loose. And it's like, here's an outline of what you can do, but it's pretty open-ended. It's like, feel free to swap things out. Feel free to take breaks. Do not plan this to the minute. I mean, it's pretty loose for that reason. Scheduling every minute of your day leads to stress, leads to disappointment, leads to frustration, because there's no way to get everything done. It's just not
possible.
Setting
yourself up for failure.
And you never know what's going to happen. The number of times that I have either myself been in the parks or spoken to somebody who's been like, oh, we were going to do this or that, the ride was broken down, or, you know, something happened on this day. It's, you can't schedule every single minute because it leads to unpleasantness. And what's the thing that I always say when, like, we're there? We like to eavesdrop on people, because what else are you going to do when you're standing in a ride queue? I say, it's not what they said, it's how they said it.
Sometimes it's what they said.
Well, sometimes, yes. But often they'll be that family.
They snap.
Yes, and they're trying to have the perfect trip. And they'll be like, we are heading to Peter Pan's flight. It's a great ride.
I almost died on it, Julie.
Julie. Yeah, so it's not what you said. It's how you said it. It's that family that's like ready to lose it. That's where the stress, the overplanning, it comes in.
They always you can always tell too, like those people look overheated. It's probably later in the day.
Uh-huh. They've been out in the sun a little too long.
Yeah.
Oh, we get into that a little bit later.
They're a little sunbaked.
Yeah, yeah. My favorite of the stressed family, this is a you story. You witnessed this one.
Oh, dear.
Tell me about Owen.
At Epcot, at World Showcase, I heard a man, and we were separated. I heard a man yelling, Owen! 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 And turned around to see a kid who could not have been, he was in elementary school for sure, running across that bridge between France and England.
Mm-hmm.
And Owen, and this kid stops, turns around, plants both feet, hands at his waist, fingers up.
We know which fingers.
And yells.
Just use your imagination.
You, Dad.
Ooh. Somebody was stressed. Now, we have no evidence that this was due to overplanning and stress, but Owen,
no, maybe this kid's just a real hard case.
I find that story hilarious because we have a nephew named Owen. Now, our Owen would never say or do such a thing, but now whenever our Owen is running around our house, we're like, Owen, Owen. And then you and I will repeat, you, Dad, which, you know, always makes me laugh.
So if you're not supposed to plan and you're not supposed to get hot, swear at your dad, what are you supposed to do here?
All right, of those three things, the only one you're not supposed to do is swear at your dad. Don't swear at your dad, kids. It's not nice. He spent a lot of money to take you to Disney World, so cut him some slack. That said, you are supposed to plan. You are supposed to plan, but you have to be flexible. If things aren't going the way you want them to go, you have to be able to pivot. You have to plan downtime, I think, is also important. You know your limits. Plan pool time, nap time. Maybe schedule a sit-down restaurant if you know you need to just be off your feet and in the air conditioning for 2 hours. Plan a sit-down restaurant at the parks even if you don't want to go back to the resort. Do what you need to do.
30 minutes in air conditioning or a pool is the reset.
100%. Yeah. For us, it's typically pool or nap. But even just sitting down in a restaurant, in an air-conditioned restaurant for 90 minutes, will make a world of difference.
Don't forget your sunscreen.
Yeah, we will get to that. I often think about our first big family trip because this is where we made the most mistakes. And our now 7-year-old was a baby. She was under 2 at the time. And do you remember we went to Disney Springs and we were like, we could do the whole day. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. We'll do the whole day at Disney Springs. And by the end, she was like Owen and was not having it. She threw a cup of cranberry juice at my sister-in-law.
Classic.
She had a meltdown at the boathouse where I had to leave with her. I had to miss dinner at the boathouse. Everybody else ate. She screamed the entire way. Like, I ran someone over with the stroller. This woman was mad, but I was not about to stop because I had a screaming, 1-year-old. So
she was overcooked. She was done.
She was. And I should have read the signs. She's my kid. I knew she was done, but I was like, we'll do it. We'll be okay. Well, she'll be all right. No. Just listen to your gut. You know your kids. You know yourself. If you're done, you're done. Just be done.
Yeah, it's better just like go chill at the hotel. It's not like you can't go back to the park.
Right.
You're like, oh, I can't go back. I got to do everything.
Right.
But instead, you're just like biting the head off some 19-year-old that works at Disney World.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Melissa from Norman, Oklahoma.
My last trip with our 7-year-old, we had Hoop-Dee-Doo review scheduled and I ended up canceling it because it was just, I knew it was too much for her. She would have done it, but she would not have enjoyed it. She probably would have cried. Like, knowing her and seeing how tired she was, she would have been in tears because that's a long show and she was tired. And so I ended up canceling it. And it, as sad as I was about that, it was the right call to make. And so that's something that I've learned, like just seeing her and knowing like she's not up for it. And she was so relieved when I was like, we'll cancel. She was like, thank you, mommy. She was so relieved that we were able to do it. So, stuff happens. Rides go down. Things happen. You have to be flexible. You really do. Don't let it ruin your trip. Be flexible. Disney is designed for high crowds.
What does that mean?
It means there's so much to do. It means that, Peter Pan is not the only ride. Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is not the only ride. If everything is an hour wait, if you're there during a super busy time, there are other things you can do.
Like Carousel of Progress?
Like Carousel of Progress. I know I've sent you on Carousel of Progress, like in the early days when we were just trying to figure stuff out. Before I, understood planning the way that I do now.
Oh, okay.
That's Dad from Carousel Progress, just to be clear.
That does clear things up, doesn't it? So yeah, like if everybody's zigging, it's okay for you to zag. You know, do the ferry boat, do Tom Sawyer Island, do Swiss Family Treehouse. There are paths on Animal Kingdom that you can just walk and explore. Go to the Pixar area that nobody's ever at and meet Edna Mode or other characters from The Incredibles. I mean, there's so many things that you can do that will have fewer people.
So go on the app and sort by wait time is what you're saying?
You could do that. Yeah, but not everything has a wait time. Paths in Animal Kingdom don't have a wait time. The ferry boat doesn't have a wait time on the app. 100% you could do that. I'm just saying if what you had in mind doesn't work out, it's okay to be flexible and it's okay to do things that you didn't necessarily have in your plans.
Also, even the worst attraction at Disney World is still pretty good.
It's better than sitting on my couch, you know? So, yeah. So I think that's number one is overplanning and not being flexible enough.
All right, so I'm going to stop planning. I'm just going to show up
and go where
the crowd takes me.
I didn't say
planning. Always walk in the opposite direction of the crowd. Yes.
Okay, no, that's not at all what I said.
Well, you said if I don't, then I'm going to get too hangry and it's not going to go well.
Boss, you killed a child.
I didn't say any of that. Let's move on to number two.
Oh, okay.
Because I think we're going to cover some of what you were just talking about here. Number two, mistakes that we've made is thinking that you need things like Genie Plus or Park Hopper or extras, these extra add-ons.
We've skipped Park Hopper.
We do sometimes skip Park Hopper. I have an annual pass, so I have Park Hopper. You guys, the rest of the family does not. So when I buy tickets, it really depends on what we're doing. But I've definitely made the mistake of purchasing Park Hopper when I don't necessarily need it. Park Hopper's great, but not always necessary. So let's be clear. Disney World's a business. They aren't a charity. There's a lot of anger about Disney prices and whatnot and upcharges. They're a business. They're going to try and get you to pay for all of the extras.
A publicly traded business, no less.
Yeah. So they want you to buy those extras. Sometimes they're worth it. They're not always worth it, though. They are not always worth it. Really think about things like Genie Plus or Park Hopper. If you're doing a super short trip, Park Hopper makes sense. If you're going to be there for a week, you might probably don't want to waste your time on Park Hopper. And just because it's a busy time of year, Genie Plus, not necessarily your best friend. I've used Genie Plus at Epcot on super busy days. Biggest waste of money ever.
Because everybody uses it now?
Because everybody uses it, and Epcot only has so many rides where you can take advantage of Genie Plus. And so because there's 2 hours in between when you can book rides. So for example, let's just say you want to ride Frozen Ever After. I book it first thing in the morning, the moment I can. But the ride, the return time I get for the ride is like 3 p.m. because that ride is so popular. So I book it. I grab it at 7 a.m. I can't book my next ride until 2 hours after park opening. By that time, you know, it's 10 a.m. Everything else is already booked up. I'm going to say this is on super busy days. But so I, you know, at 10 a.m. I'm looking and I'm like, well, I can't get anything. You know, I can get Figment. I don't need a lightning lane for Figment. So
Genie Plus. Is there even a wait for Figment anymore?
Typically, no. If there's a wait for Figment, something's gone horribly, horribly wrong. So instead, this is where planning does help. Use early entry for staying at a Disney resort. Plan your first 2 hours strategically. Get to the parks early. I know it seems silly to get to the parks, you know, 45 minutes before park opening. Because you're like, well, I'm waiting 45 minutes. So what difference does it make? You're not necessarily waiting for your first ride. You're waiting. Those 45 minutes put you in an advantage for rides number 2, 3, and 4. Does that make sense?
No.
Because you're getting on and off ride one immediately. So by the time
you go... So I got a gimme on the first ride.
So, you know, you're waiting 45 minutes to get into the park, but then you're immediately on your first ride. Once you get off your first ride, people are still coming into the park for early entry at that time.
And the people who went through the first ride already dispersing.
They're
other
already
stuff.
Done. They're already on ride two. Yes. So you're at an advantage for rides 2, 3, and 4 because people are still pouring into the parks. And you're already knocking out rides. Wait times for the first 2 hours are way lower. So even if you're not looking at big ticket rides, like the long way, like Seven Dwarfs Mine Train or Peter Pan, if you're avoiding those rides, you could knock out a dozen rides in the first 2 hours. I mean, you can do so much in that amount of time. So early in the morning is your best friend if you want to avoid Genie Plus. Genie Plus is not a necessity. And park hopping is not a necessity either. So you look at extras like that, not something you have to do. And I think that's a huge mistake that people make. They think they're at some huge disadvantage if they don't do Genie Plus. Genie Plus is a tool. You can use it. It's great. Not necessary, though. Same with park hopping.
I agree.
All right. Yeah. Also, you know, take advantage, you know, riding during fireworks, always low weights, parades. At the very end of the night, you can often get into a line for like something that has a long wait and get on and off pretty quickly. So
that's some of the most fun we've had.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is doing the rides when no one else is around during fireworks.
Yep. And that's a good time to do rides like Seven Dwarfs Mine Train or Peter Pan. So if you missed out on those earlier
sometimes
in the day.
You do them during that time, and you're the only one there. We did Tiki Room. We're the only people. We did the Speedway. We're the only people on the track.
Yep. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. It's a way to do things without Genie Plus. Genie Plus is getting more and more expensive. Let's not think of it as a necessity. All right. Mistake number three, food. There are a lot of food mistakes.
Ooh, precious food.
There are some great quick service options, but Disney has amazing dining. So I suggest that you try something other than quick service chicken tenders or French fries. I think that's a huge mistake that people make. Step out of your comfort zone. I talk to people every week, and I hate when I hear that people are traveling, and not just to Disney World, but people are traveling anywhere. It drives me nuts when I hear it, like all they ate were burgers and chicken tenders the entire time. It's such a wasted experience.
I have never had better food in more variety than at Disney World.
Oh, they have so much great food. It's unreal how much good food they have.
Yeah, if you're not taking advantage of that and you're like going for the second time, for sure make sure you're checking out the restaurants, the food. It's quite incredible. And like, just move beyond, you know, diner food.
Yeah. And I get that not everybody's an adventurous eater. I totally understand that. But I think, you know, just try one meal even. Just one sit-down meal where you try something that's a little bit out of your comfort zone. And you won't regret it. There's so many great options.
It's Disney World. No matter how crazy it sounds, it's going to be delicious.
Right. And if you absolutely hate it, again, it's Disney World. They're not going to be like...
Mickey stands there until you finish.
They bring in Owen, and Owen yells at you.
Until you finish.
Until you finish your meal. Yeah, if you don't like it, I guarantee they'll help you out. So that's the first thing that drives me nuts. The second thing, maybe a little more obvious if you follow Disney blogs, is make reservations in advance. This is a must these days. If there's something you want to try, if there's something you want to do, don't forget. I've definitely made this mistake where I sleep in or I don't set my alarm on the day where I have to make dining reservations 60 days in advance from the first day that you check into your resort. And you can, at the 60 days, you can do it for the entirety of your trip. So if you have a 7-day trip, you can do it the 60 days plus, you know, the full 7 days of your trip. Make those dining reservations on those days. Don't risk it. Even if it's something you're like, yeah, it'll be fine. Make the dining reservations in advance.
Let them eat cake!
You know, walk-up reservations, it is an option, but it's a crapshoot. It's a crapshoot. You don't know what you're going to get. So don't risk it. Just do it. And lastly, this is one that I feel like I've been driving home a lot lately, is don't feel like you have to try the newest limited edition seasonal whatever treat.
Oh, they're so lame.
They're always disappointing.
They're just like, all right, it just has to look good for Instagram.
Yes.
And then that's it.
I shouldn't say always disappointing. I've definitely had some that are good, but so many of them are just not what you hope for, you know, and you have to like go out of your way and find the special treat that's only at this one location during this one party, you know, at this time and blah, blah, blah.
That is for locals and influencers.
Yeah. The one I always think of, the one that comes to mind was last year's Halloween party. there was this Mexican chocolate skull, and it was like a chocolate cake skull. And I thought of it because I have skull cake pans. Our anniversary's on Halloween, so I have all sorts of like fun Halloween stuff. But I have skull cake pans. And so that spoke to me. And I was like, Mexican chocolate. So it'll be chocolate with like a, with a kick, with some spice to it. It was the driest thing I've ever eaten. And I didn't have anything to drink with it. I was like,
and it, there, this
it wasn't great.
I saw a photo of it. It appeared to be the same skull pan pattern that you used.
It did. I was fine with that part of it. I don't think most people have that skull pan. I'm just a weirdo. But it just was so disappointing because it was beautiful. Like, I took photos of it, like you said, because it's for Instagram. It was a beautiful cake, and I was so excited. And I took a bite and was like,
well, you're not supposed to eat it.
Oh, I'm not?
No.
What was I supposed to do with it?
You take the photo of it, and then you throw it in the trash.
Oh.
Yeah, that's how Instagram food works.
I'm very weird about wasting food, as you know.
You could have just stopped at very weird.
I could have, but there's more to it in this particular instance. I'm weird about other things too, but wasting food, I hate it. I hate it. So no, I will not be throwing it away. I ate that damn dry cake, even though it wasn't good. I ate the whole thing. So don't feel like you have to do the newest trendy food that you see on Instagram that people are, you know, taking photos of. If you happen to come across it, fine. Don't waste your time seeking it out. Your kids won't care. It probably won't be worth it. There are plenty of other treats that have been around for a lot longer that, you know, we all know are good. All right, you want to move into the next one?
How should I pack?
Packing. Number four, packing pitfalls. All right, let's talk about weather. Tell me about Orlando weather.
It is a challenge.
That's one way to describe it.
Orlando weather is challenging, brutal, temperamental.
You know, you can check the weather app. It doesn't always mean anything.
Yeah, that's what's interesting.
The weather can change very rapidly, very, very rapidly in Orlando. So be ready for rain, especially in the fall, especially in the fall. You know, I went, gosh, this was maybe 2 years ago. I was going to, I think it was like the first Christmas party. And it was either the day, I think it was the day before. It was the day before. Suddenly it was like, oh, there's going to be a hurricane in Orlando. I mean, there was no talk of anything up until the day before. Because, I mean, these things can change in an instant, especially during this time.
Are you saying you packed a hurricane?
I did not.
I'm not following.
I did not, but I packed ponchos. So ponchos versus umbrellas, well, just it depends on you. Ponchos can be humid when you put them on.
Yeah, also.
They can be hot and uncomfortable. But an umbrella would not have worked in that particular weather. Ponchos, umbrellas, stroller covers. If you have a stroller cover is a must.
Oh, yeah, your stroller is going to be soaked.
I still think back to, I purchased a stroller cover like on a whim. And this was, again, our very first big family trip. On a whim, and I put it on, and we went into Figment, which is, you know, there's no wait for Figment ever, and it's like a five-minute ride. And we came out, and it had poured in those 5 minutes. And we had the stroller cover on, but I pulled it off. But I remember seeing the strollers next to us were all soaked through. Your child will be sitting in a soaking wet stroller if you don't have a stroller cover.
That's not going to help their mood.
No, it's not. No, it's not. If you're pushing that child to the limit and not taking our advice in you know, our first segment, which was taking break and being more flexible. Yeah, no, putting them then in a wet stroller will not help.
Here's the problem with the poncho. Aside from the fact that you are wearing a garbage bag.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah. You take it off. Now what do you do with it?
Well, it depends. I have disposable ponchos, which feel very wasteful, but I mean, you toss them then afterwards. You can buy reusable ponchos. They sell them at Disney World. If you feel like paying a premium, I mean, you can buy a poncho there. They make ponchos that you can reuse. You could pack a rain jacket, but that's something you're going to have to carry with you. So these are all things to consider, but I would definitely, especially if you're traveling in the fall, I would have something.
I like the poncho and making you carry it.
Well, you know, if it's folded up, it's not a big deal. You just put it in your park bag. I have an umbrella that's very compact that I often carry with me, and that typically does the trick. Unless I'm in very windy conditions, that is usually what I use. As far as rain goes, I would also say pack extra shoes, even if that's just cheap flip-flops. You know, I don't think most people consider how long it takes for tennis shoes to dry out.
It's considerable.
It is. It is. Overnight will not do it. We'll just say
overnight,
that.
But you got to sit them on your air conditioner upside down.
Even
and
that.
And like really stink up the place.
If you don't mind your room smelling like feet.
Feet and wet leather.
You might have dry shoes, maybe, by the morning. I don't know that that would work, though. So I always, like, I pack tennis shoes because that's what I prefer to wear.
I got my shoes wet once. I jammed the blow dryer.
Yeah, but even that takes a long time.
And they still weren't dry.
I was going to say, I think you were, like, good enough, but they weren't dry.
And it was a fire hazard.
Yeah. And good enough is, like, when you touch it, it's fine. But the moment you have the weight of your body walking in them, suddenly all that water's like squish and makes its way up into your sock.
I believe this was when we were at Universal in that Popeye
ride that drenches you. Yes.
And we didn't know.
Yeah. Well, see, I was the only one who packed extra shoes. I always pack flip-flops just because they're easy to jam into a bag. And then if my other shoes get wet, I've got something else. So yeah, prepare yourself for rain. Also prepare yourself for lots of walking, heat, and humidity. So, as always, www.com/sweaty.
I ain't getting all sweaty.
I have tested many, many sweat products. This includes...
These promote sweating?
They prevent sweating.
You sell your sweat.
I do not. That's creepy.
If you want to buy some sweat...
That's a whole different market that I'm not willing to get into.
.com/sweaty.
But no, powders, lotions, shorties, like to wear under dresses. These things are a must. Those also help with the chafing, the thigh chafing. Don't even get me started on that. As a large thighed woman, it's...
Tell me about it.
Hey. You watch it. Sunscreen, bottled water, Band-Aids. I mean, these are all necessities that I have not had and wish that I had. I will say, if you forget to pack them, you can head to the baby care center or the first aid center. Often they have some of these things. I learned from a listener recently who forgot deodorant, not once, but twice, forgot to apply deodorant. If you head over to the baby care center, they have deodorant there.
They have a community one you could borrow.
Gross.
Oh, here, you could borrow this one. Bring it back.
Sick. No. But you can purchase a small deodorant at the baby care center. Who knew? I did not know that. I thought I was the sweat expert, but I had a listener who shared that with me.
The sweat spurt?
I was the sweat. I like that. I'm going to use that.
The sweat spurt?
I'm going to use that.
Okay.
You said it as an insult, but I'm taking it and I'm owning it.
Ew.
Thank you.
Hey, let's get to your last packing tip.
Oh, okay, so I wrote this one. This one's in our outline here. But really, this one's for... I'm going to let you take the lead on this one. You go ahead. What's the last one on here for packing?
I don't know how to read.
Oh, come on now. Come on. Sound it out. You got this.
S-tool. Softener.
Stool softener.
Ew.
Now, why?
Why?
Why would I have you take the lead on that one? I don't have this particular issue, but I know... It's common. I remember as a kid, my mom used to say if she packed the stool softener, she didn't have an issue. Just knowing it was in the suitcase was enough for her to use the bathroom regularly. With you, however, I had to go down into the lobby. They do not sell stool softener at the convenience stores like in the lobby at the Disney resorts. Just an FYI. What they do sell are laxatives.
Like straight up, you're getting a colonoscopy style.
Those are two very different things. So pack stool softener so that you can use the bathroom regularly. Because what happens if you don't?
Mm-hmm.
Your wife buys you a laxative.
And then you get ripped in half in front of Animal Kingdom. You turn yourself inside out in the bathroom. And you hear strangers being like, hey, let's get out of here.
I mean,
you hear small children asking, what's wrong with that man?
I mean, you don't, this is a friend of a friend told you this story, right? This wasn't, this isn't.
Okay, well, it feels that way because it was like an out-of-body experience, but it happened to me. I'm sorry, Mickey.
I'll never forget it. You, like, ditched our two older kids. I, like, came through security.
We're not old enough to be ditched.
I came through security, and I was like, where did he go? And they're like, we think he went to the bathroom. And
I was like, wait by this Christmas tree. Your mother will find you. I'm going to the bathroom. Do not move.
Like 15 minutes later, when you didn't come out, I texted you. I was like, we're just going to go meet Mickey. And we met Mickey and Minnie.
And then I like duck walked.
And you were
at high speed.
You were still in that restroom while we met Mickey and Minnie. We're like, guess we're not doing Flight of Passage today.
I recovered, but there was a situation.
Okay, but did the other people in that bathroom recover?
You know, they didn't witness it.
They probably are still having nightmares.
They're telling the same stupid story on a different podcast. Oh, man, at Animal Kingdom in the bathroom one time?
Let me tell you about my trip report. All right, so the lesson here is pack any medications you might need. That includes stool softener. It's an important one. Oh, this is why I love you. You're willing to share your shame.
Let's recap our biggest points.
Let's, shall we? Overplanning and not taking time for rest, relaxation, it will make your trip stressful. It will make your trip not fun, and these are not the memories that you are trying to make with your family. You're not going to be able to do everything, so don't try. Just don't try to do everything. Know, you know, the big things that you want to do, and then leave the rest up to whatever you can fit in. But make sure you take time to rest, whether that's nap time, pool time, sitting in a restaurant for 90 minutes, whatever. You don't need to upgrade to have a great time at Disney World. You don't need to do every single party. You don't need to do Genie Plus. You don't need to do Park Hopper. If these things are in your budget, if they make sense for your trip, that's great. If not, you're not missing out. It's okay. You don't need to do it. Don't purchase it just because you think you need to. Explore the food that's at Disney World. There's so much amazing food. Even if it's just for one meal, try something different. Try something fun. There are so many unique options out there.
Okay, miss, don't spend the money on these upgrades. I pack my own hot dogs.
Wait, hot and
then
dogs?
Then I cook them in my poncho. My money-saving tip.
What a hack.
Yeah, if it's like World Showcase and I'm feeling fancy, I'll do like, you know, like a sausage instead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ooh. But the rest of the time, just Vienna beef.
Like a bratwurst or something.
Yeah.
I like it. That's a great tip. Good work. Make dining reservations in advance. And don't feel like you need to try every single new limited edition, whatever seasonal stupid treat. Because
don't try it at all. They're like, hey, this is just going to be here a week and then we're done with it.
I wouldn't say don't try it at all. If you happen to come across something that looks good, fine. But don't like make a plan to go out of your way for these particular treats. It's not worth it.
And they're purely for looks.
I told you we needed more glitter.
And pack things that'll make you comfortable in the heat, the rain, the humidity, the bathroom, and 5 to 10 miles of walking.
5 to 10 miles? Well, I look like a marathon runner.
A marathon's more than 5 to 10 miles.
If you say so.
A marathon's 26 miles.
I wouldn't know.
Anyway, anything else before we sign off?
No, that's all I got.
All right, well, that's it for this episode. If you're planning a trip or just want a free quote, use the link in the show notes or on the website. It helps fund the show and makes the show possible. If you want to be a guest on the show and share a trip with me, there's a link in the show notes. You can leave me a voicemail message today. I hope you guys learn from our mistakes, my mistakes, my husband's mistakes. And I will see you guys next time in the parks.
I ain't getting all sweaty.